Even though cash machines are replacing bank tellers, a bank still needs an office. So in 1995, North Carolina's Wachovia Bank moved into a gleaming new headquarters in downtown Winston-Salem. Wachovia traces its history in Salem to 1866, so the community was naturally anxious to keep a major local employer happy. The city and Forsyth County kicked in $4 million to the office project, mostly to build an employee parking deck. That ticked off local attorney Bill Moretti.
That is a private purpose. That is a private corporation, and that private corporation is taking money from the citizens of this community and receiving it and adding it to its bottom line. That's not fair. It's not right.
Moretti sued the county. He says giving public money to a private business violates the North Carolina Constitution's requirement that public money be spent for a public purpose. Subsidized parking for the nation's 20th largest bank, he says, doesn't qualify, and not just on legal grounds.
It's, in my judgment, immoral on the part of government to deprive its other government services, schools, welfare, environment, streets, police protection, in favor of writing checks to some of the wealthiest entities in the world.
When it comes to the subsidy checkbook, North Carolina is actually among the more conservative states. In recent years, Mercedes-Benz sought bidders for a new car plant. North Carolina offered $110 million in subsidies, but Alabama won with a staggering promise of some $300 million. However thrifty, North Carolina officials still fought Moretti's lawsuit. Gary Carlton heads the State Commerce Department office that doles out incentive money. He argues that even though North Carolina's unemployment rate is below the national average and its economy is robust, the state must still compete in the bidding.
We have got to continue to attract companies to the state because there's plants being closed every day, and it's not because it's not a good place to have a company. It's because it's the nature of their business.
The philosophical argument for spending public money on private business is usually grounded in the notion of the public good. If helping a company build a headquarters or expand a factory contributes to the common welfare, Carlton says the money can be justified. The payoff comes in more jobs, higher tax revenues, a boost in retail sales.
When we do training, build roads, and bring companies in here, it's for public use. It's for the people that don't have the jobs or the people that want to upgrade from where they are now.
At the Marsh Furniture Company in High Point, North Carolina, a machine grinds out panels for kitchen cabinets. A vocational trainer from nearby Guilford Technical Community College steps around the conveyor line to talk with one of the workers.
On this particular machine, we have a scoring saw. And if you notice, Thomas, that scoring saw is turned in an opposite direction from the wood.
Training programs may be the least controversial breed of government subsidy because they make the workforce more employable and therefore more likely to contribute to society than drain it down. Critics of state incentives, such as William Schwecke of the Corporation for Enterprise Development in Chapel Hill, say that more direct giveaways, such as outright grants and tax breaks, are the real problem. Schwecke's think tank studied the national bidding war and concluded it is out of control. He says incentives rarely determine whether a company expands, but where. Schwecke says savvy business people now expect subsidies.
In 99% of the cases, you're just, you know, wasting scarce public dollars for creating no net new jobs. You're just kind of shifting economic development from one place to the other. It's going to take place anyway. So you're subsidizing the shareholders of these companies for what they would have done anyway, and you're diverting policymakers time and energy and money away from things they should be doing for development toward these things.
Researchers at the free market-oriented John Locke Foundation in Raleigh vilify government incentives as worse than simply a waste of money. The foundation is named after 17th century English philosopher John Locke, who championed the rights of the individual against government tyranny. Foundation President John Hood insists that government has no business giving money to business.
The purpose of business incentive programs is not to create jobs. It's to create job announcements. Politicians thrive on job announcements. So they can go to the ribbon cutting, cut the ribbon, and say, what I did led to the creation of 3,000 jobs. When you spend money to create those 3,000 jobs, or at least you think you are doing so, you're going to be killing jobs elsewhere in the economy. You know, money does not grow on trees, so the amount of money that you invest in a business incentive is the amount of money that is not available for education and highways, tax relief, etc.
My name is Cerny Braswell, and I'm Vice President of Southeast Raleigh Community Development Corporation in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we are standing on the side of Ujamaa Village, which is a 72-unit subdivision that our corporation is developing, an affordable housing unit for moderate-income families.
Left-leaning critics of business incentives say this publicly funded housing project for African Americans is exactly the kind of government spending that often loses out to business in the scramble for public dollars. They say Ujamaa Village is a better way to promote the common good.
I think if you start at the ground where people are and improve their standard of living, their ability to feel good about themselves, then you contribute to the general welfare in a way that I'm not sure that tax incentives to businesses does, because I'm not sure how much those businesses move outside of the sphere of their business.
In other words, how much do business incentives help neighborhoods that need jobs the most? Some economists argue that government should act more like a real investor, demanding a clear, demonstrable return, spending money more carefully, and attaching tough provisions to incentive deals to ensure a public payoff. Economists at the Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis say Congress should use its authority to end the bidding war among states. One possible method, taxing a company on the value of state and local enticements. The Czar of North Carolina's comparatively modest incentives program, Gary Carlton, would welcome a ceasefire from Washington.
And then they'd put us all on the same playing field with the same equipment again. But right now, we're actually going to the sale with a wagon and nothing in the wagon to sell, when everybody else has it loaded with money or pre-land or tax abatements. I mean, they can pull out of three or four different slots out there and say, what do you want today?
In North Carolina, the state Supreme Court tossed out the lawsuit to end subsidies. Congress shows little immediate interest in taking on the issue. For those who believe that incentives are bad, the most likely venue for change is state legislatures. Shrinking budgets will increasingly pit business enticements against government programs. But as one critic explained, the game will go on because lawmakers would have to make the politically painful choice to give up local ribbon cuttings in order to end a national bidding war. For Marketplace, this is Stephen Smith.